All right, everybody, welcome. Happy Tuesday after Christmas. I hope you're warmer than we are in Denver. It's 11 degrees, and that's as high as it's gotten all day. So,
wow.
All kinds of fun. So, yeah, I'm sitting outside in a lawn chair, shorts on, drinking an iced tea. So, yeah, let's fire it up. Who's starting us off?
Mike, I'd get us started because I got to jump off.
Okay. Yeah, that works.
Okay. All right, man. So, like I said, where I'm at right now is kind of like I'm just talking to some sales guys. I got off
yep.
with the phone with a good one. He's one I really like. He's a high D.
Okay.
So, I'm going to say something. And I like him actually because he's local also. So,
yep.
I think that'll work much better. So, kind of where I'm at, I'm looking to probably get someone started probably tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm going to make a decision tomorrow. I need to go ahead and get them started.
Yep. Do you have a few candidates that look promising or just one?
Yeah, I got a few of them. I got probably about
okay.
three of them right now.
How many leads do you have?
That look, right now, I only got probably like...
How many?
My bird dogs. I talked to a couple, about 45.
Okay.
Yeah,
I talked
to my bird dogs. Yeah, I'm trying to get them on it. They said they're going to get back started this week. So hopefully they can bring in, you know, enough of them. I'm going to probably try to incentivize them with some type of bonus or something to see if they can get some, you know, done by Saturday.
I was going to say to bring on the top two salespeople, but they'll burn through that many leads. Here's the other thing.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you could have somebody start after the new year or one of them now and one of them in a week, and that buys you a little bit of time. If
yeah,
you want to do something
yeah.
like that. Because, you know, it makes sense to have, you know, you just have to see. If you've got one person and they, you know, things just seem to align and you think they're going to tear it up for you on the phone, you know, knock yourself out. But it's perfectly okay to bring in multiple and see who performs for sure.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's
yep.
where I'm kind of leaning towards. I'm trying to see if I just want to do it that way, bring on two of those, two sales guys,
yep.
or just split them up, do like a sales guy and a disposition guy. So I'm going to try to kind of see how they work out and see, you know, see what these guys bring to the table once I
yep.
get them started, see what the best
yep.
fit is. So besides that, I'm still just trying to work the leads, keep them bird dogs motivated so they can go find something. I'm going to start, I've been trying to make some buyer calls, you know, get in contact with some good buyers in North Carolina and stuff like that. And
okay.
then what I'm going to do is, so that's what I'm focusing on. That's going to be my main focus for the week is leads and buyer calls.
Yeah, leads for sure. So it's really
yeah.
good though. Bring a salesperson on. It'll force your hand with the leads, which is
right,
not
right,
a bad
yeah.
place to be. You'll,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you'll
right.
you'll have to make it happen to give them somebody to call. So yeah, you've got to get to 250. ASAP.
Yeah, quick. Yeah.
250
quick,
in the door
so.
And 250 skip traced.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah, yep. I got the skip traced working. He's working, you know, consistently. You know, I got him skip tracing, you know, some seller leads, and I got him doing some buyer ones also.
Okay.
In the absentee list. So those are
okay.
the ones that I'm kind of calling and running through myself right now. Just to try to get some buyers on the line, you know, get a volume of them anyway.
Yep.
And like I said, I'll just continue, you know, focusing on that, getting the leads in and finding, you know, new buyers, getting the buyers list up. Other than that, I'm just, you know, trying to wrap up the few deals that I got here in my backyard, trying to wrap
yeah,
up.
Yeah, where are those ones at?
Officially.
Do you have them under contract?
Right now, they're pinned in one of the families that came in this weekend, and I'm getting they said they should have it back to me tonight. Another guy
okay.
followed up with today. He has his own business, so he's always super busy. So I'm trying to – he said he'll get it back to me. So I'm hoping to have all – I should have about three of them. I'm hoping to have all of them by tomorrow. I'm going to really
okay.
hit the ground and kind of light a fire on them to get the contracts back to me, especially because they're talking to close in early January. So
right. Yeah, you got to get those off the title.
Yeah, I got to
Are you
yeah,
gotta
get them off the title.
Are they all wholesale deals?
Yeah, they're all looking like wholesale, yeah.
Okay. Do you have buyers lined up for them?
I got two buyers on the line that they said they'll be – I kind of gave them a some criteria, and they said they were probably interested in it. But I haven't told them any details or anything like that. But if not, you know, I've kind of got a plan in place to, you know, find one. So I just have to – that's kind of why I'm trying to make some buyer calls to try to kind of broaden the spectrum and see, you know, if I can, you know, find some guys that have some different criteria so I can have a little wider array to choose from and, you know, market the deals to.
Right.
Trying to get the leads and the buyers in. So
yeah, get those salespeople working, and that'll you know, either the bird dogs that you have are going to step up, or you've got to find somebody else. But you need more leads ASAP.
Right,
so
it's
one or the other. But yeah, don't let somebody say I can maybe do Wednesday, or I can do an hour on Friday morning.
Yeah, anybody that's been telling me,
say, hey,
I
need you to drive tomorrow.
If they can't do it, then I've just been moving on. So I've ran through probably like 4 or 5 of them already. So
yeah, that's what it takes.
Keep moving.
You just need 1 or 2 that are good. You'll be fine. So keep looking till you find them. All right.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
All I got, bro.
Cool. Who else?
Larry Allen.
Hey, Larry.
All right, so I got my acquisitions guy started today. He called like 14 people on his first hour or two out. And I have a question about – so I'm trying to – I had them set up where he has a Google Voice number for his forwarding number. I forward the FreedomSoft calls to his forwarding number. But I'm trying to set it up. I'm not clear that he can see – like, I can see everything. I'm not clear that he can see whenever we have missed calls and voice messages. And I tried to set up a campaign that and I associated that number, the FreedomSoft number, to the campaign so that it would show up as a lead to kind of use it as a voicemail box almost.
Yep.
But I think for some reason I have a test account as well that I use to kind of test these things out before I started assigning things to them. I have my acquisitions guy trained. I have my dispositions guy. He's reviewing the script, and he's going to start calling tomorrow. So both of these guys will be working together starting tomorrow. We had a conference call today where they could we Skype today so that they could meet each other.
Okay.
And I'm helping the acquisitions guy make the offers, but both of these guys are experienced phone salespeople, so he's fine with the phone. I'm gonna have to show him how to make the offers, but you guys make the way that you guys do that 70% is easier than what I was doing. I was doing some mortgage calculations and all of that stuff, and your numbers come out close to my numbers, so I can teach him your way easier than I can teach him my way.
Gotcha. Yeah, go with simple. And there's a spreadsheet in the coaching center that you can download. It's got a calculator on it. It has three different calculators on it. So you know, grab that and get it to your salespeople, because it says, we color coded the three different sections, and at the top of one it says, if the seller gives you an offer price, they say, yeah, I'll take 15, and your salesperson says, well, is that a good price or not? So they just plug in a couple numbers and it'll spit out some data for them. And then the other one says, if the seller says, I don't have a price in mind, make me an offer. And then that'll help them guide through that. And then the third one is for fix and flip.
I remember seeing that. So we're at the place. So tomorrow, once he brings – so what I'm telling him to do is to get the – once he finds somebody that's willing to hear our offer, right now we're calling him back the next day. But once I train him, he'll be able to call him back the same – you know, in 15 minutes, if not on the call, depending on, you know, how much he advances. But he should be okay. But the struggle that I – the question that I'm having, I sent an email into the – I sent it later today, but I'm not sure that I have the right premise for this campaign that I'm trying to use as a voicemail box.
Yeah, you don't – if you're running vacants, don't send them the voicemail. Have your I was just going to ask you about that. So you've got – vacant leads in, you've got skip trace phone numbers.
Yep.
Have your salesperson call them from his Google Voice number.
Yep.
But if they're going to call back, have him call that number, because if they call back, you want your salesperson to answer. You already have the lead. because the skip, the bird dog brought the lead in. There's no need to capture it. It's already been captured.
Yeah, but I want to see, like, how many incoming calls. So when they're called, so I think we're saying the same thing, but I'm trying to track it. So he has a Google Voice number, and I've associated a FreedomSoft number for these incoming seller calls.
Right.
And he does answer those calls live. So he's calling live and he's answering live while he's working. But when he's not working.
But if he calls me and I see his Google Voice number on my caller ID.
No. So his outbound is through FreedomSoft, using the FreedomSoft number. And then the inbound, they use the FreedomSoft number. Yeah, it's forwarded to his.
That works.
But I'm trying to track those. I don't think he can see because he doesn't have access to contacts. Or it's something. Because I've only given him access to his lead campaigns. When I tried it in my test account, it wasn't showing the missed calls in the voicemail from the number. I mean, I could take it offline. You can take a look at my
showing. Yeah, I'll have to log into your account and see.
Okay.
But it should be tracking outbound and inbound when you go to that reports page.
It's doing it for me. It's doing it for me, but I also have access to all contacts. And he doesn't have access to all contacts. And I don't know if that's what I'm going to have to change. I prefer to just give these guys access to the contacts that they need.
That still should be okay because he's got permission to see, say, a particular lead, 123 Main Street, and that lead was skip traced. And the owner's, Jane Doe, and then a bunch of phone numbers. That creates a contact called Jane Doe.
Yep. He
can't see it in the contacts tab, but he can see it when he clicks into 123 Main Street.
Correct. But when they call back, it's triggering as a inbound seller lead in this campaign that I'm using it as a counter for the incoming calls.
Okay, so here's how this is going to work. As soon as your salesperson identifies the correct phone number for the seller that's going to go back and forth, save that number to the primary contact of that lead record. But what's going to happen here is, because when you skip trace, it'll be common to have 4, 5, 6 numbers.
Correct.
So your salesperson is going to call all of them. And what can happen is those numbers are typically going to be in the notes section, and they'll put a star by it, or, you know, our team puts in capital letters this one in parentheses. That way we all know which number. Mm-hmm. But what happens is if that number is only in the notes section and it's not the primary contact, if that person calls back from that number, FreedomSoft is going to say, hey, we don't recognize this number, so it's going to create a new lead. However, if you grab that number and save it as the primary contact phone number for Jane Doe, then when Jane calls in, it's going to say, oh, we recognize this number, this voicemail, whatever, this message goes to this lead record, 123 Main Street. Put 2 and 2 together. Does that make sense?
I hear you. I'm looking in here now to see if I see the – I know that you can make a person a primary contact. I wasn't aware that you can make a number a primary contact.
Well, that person can have a phone number. Their name, phone number, and email can be the primary contact.
Gotcha. I understand what you're saying.
Okay. So chew on that. If we need more explanation, we can email back and forth tomorrow. We're going to figure it out.
Cool.
But, yeah, that's all you have to do.
Cool.
So
we're up and running with or without that, so we're moving forward.
Yep. Good stuff. How your salesperson made 14 calls today. Did they get a hold of anybody?
Yep, got to pull a lot of people. He's met this one lady who has like 100 properties, and she wants market price, so we're probably going to convert her into a buyer. But we're also going to use her 4 properties as training for him, even though I'm not going to really push him to do that kind of – run those kind of numbers. What's your thoughts on that? Whenever I get people that already tell me that they want market price and I already told them that we don't pay market price, I don't normally – put a lot of effort into that, but what's your take on that?
Well, I'll tell you. So what is market price? And I'm assuming they're rentals. Are they occupied or not? Are they turnkey rentals? You can sell turnkey rentals at market price.
Gotcha.
Tenant occupied. And it's all based on, I heard about a guy out of New York. I was talking to a buyer in this one market. He's a wholesaler. He's a buyer. He does it all, right? And he's got a buyer out of New York who buys really beat-up houses, most of them in the quote-unquote hood, war zone, whatever you want to call it, where a lot of the locals don't buy, fixes them up, and sells them at a six cap. He's from Israel, sells them to people back overseas, back home, at a six cap. A six cap in most places is way over market price.
Gotcha.
They're just buying. They're just buying the return. So it. The answer is it just depends. You know, if she says I want market price, and that, you know, on this house is, I mean, that, you know, you have to determine what's market price, and that's 50 grand, and the place is rented for 1,200 a month, and it has a long-term tenant who wants to stay. What does the math look like? You know,
gotcha.
Can you market up to 55 and still be at a decent number? So. The lower the cap rate, the higher the buy price goes that somebody could pay. So that's what's crazy is, I mean, a six cap buyer could pay twice as much as a 12 cap buyer, and that's kind of the standard, 10 to 12 for a turnkey rental. So the answer is it just depends. So there may be some room at market value with the right buyer. You just never know. I mean, but if they're buying, if somebody's come in and buying the cash flow, then – you know, that's the thing too, is some market price. I think we were talking about this on the last office hours, or I can't remember when it was, but market price fluctuates. A long-term tenant, that's pretty solid. I mean, rents can come and go, but you know, they'll move a little bit. They fluctuate. But if you've got a 5-year tenant at $1,200 a month, and somebody's looking to just buy the return, market price is fairly irrelevant. I've got a tenant in here at $1,200 a month. So you say the property is worth 20 or the property is worth 60. Well, so I just want the return. I'm going to buy it today so that I can get, you know, this is a great tenant. They could leave. Something could happen, but, you know, maybe they've got a great track record and they want another 5 years. They're just buying the cash flow. So that's the other side of it. You know, if the market crashes in 2 years, and the house is worth half what it was, but the landlord still has their $1,200 a month coming in, maybe that's all they care for. You know, they're not in it for the equity. They're in it for the, you know, for the cash flow. So the answer is it just depends. Market value can work. Now, you want to get out of the gate and get a deal to closing, get your team paid, that kind of thing, find a motivated seller. So I like what you did. You know, you want to find – the seller that says my property taxes are, you know, two, about to go 3 years past due. I can't square them up. This thing, you know, I'm losing sleep at night. That's an easier buyer to work with, right? Now you can negotiate, but yeah, keep that, you know, keep that on, maybe for a rainy day and absolutely turn them into a buyer. I mean, they have 100+ doors. So the long answer is it just depends, or the short answer is it just depends.
Got it.
This is why we talk to buyers and we ask them, how do you buy? I've talked to some landlords that say, you know, I'm looking for, you know, X percentage as a cap rate, and I only buy investment properties that have equity in them, so they care about the market value. Talk to other landlords that say, I'm just looking for the return. Market value is fairly irrelevant to me. It fluctuates. I don't care. I'm in it for the long haul. You know, this thing over the next 20 years when I hold it, market value is going to be all over the board. I don't care. I want the monthly rents. You'll find both. That's why we have the conversation with them.
Understood.
So, yeah, good stuff, man. You've got a lot of pieces in play here for January 1. I mean, you're going to have some momentum prior to that. It's kind of, you know, it's a short week again, obviously, with the new year coming up, New Year's Day on Monday, that kind of thing, but This is cool, man. You got a lot of things in play to really hit the ground running come January.
Yeah, I'm trying to hit my number in January, or if not, at least, you know, do better than I've done before for a single month. But I also have a third person who's going to be another acquisitions person. I didn't want to bring him on, but my primary guy was flaking on me. He was supposed to start last week, and he had a personal situation come up. And I understood it, but, you know, I didn't know if he was going to be unreliable or not, so I went ahead and brought my backup guy on, and he's going to start on the 8th.
Okay.
So
nice. Here's the thing, you guys. It's all based on lead flow, and how many leads do you think you can generate? But as a rule of thumb, more than one salesperson is ideal, because you want, right, high D personalities are really competitive, and you want your salespeople to know that hey, there's somebody else. We're both going after numbers. You know, you want like a group text, or we talked about Slack on here before, which is just a team communication tool. You know, you want, when somebody makes an offer or gets a property under contract or finds another motivated seller, they have to post that into the group so that the other salespeople can see that. Because that, you want the competition. Now, this is why we're hiring salespeople. You want that high D because they're competitive. If you do stuff like this with different personality types, it'll demotivate them. But with competitive high D personality types, if somebody's getting their butt kicked, it'll most often light them up, and they'll start making it happen. So, again, I'm not saying go get two people right out of the gate. Some of you have. I think it's great. However you want to set it up, right? You're running your business, so if you have questions about it, let's talk it through. But at least one person that's that high D personality type. But what you want to do is get your leads to the point where you can bring on somebody else and create a competitive environment. It'll push both of them to be better. So that'll be ideal, right? Rob always has 2 to 3, something like that, and they absolutely post each other's numbers. You know, calls made, people talk to, how many offers this week, how many contracts, right? You want to know. So every sales room across the country where there's a bunch of these salespeople in there pounding the phones, there's always a big whiteboard or somewhere public that shows, you know, here's the top dog. You want it to be visual. Who's ever bringing up the end, right? Who's the caboose? Because nobody wants to be there. And so that visual keeps people motivated, salespeople who are wired for it. So, you know, get to that point when it makes sense. But ideally, you want more than one salesperson so they can compete. It'll drive them even further in to do more. So a lot of good stuff in place, Larry. Is your sales guy going to be on the phone again tomorrow?
Yep, he's going to do a full. He's going to start at 12 tomorrow. We're doing El Paso, so they're 2 hours behind us in the east.
Yep.
But
yep.
So he's cranked. So he's ready to. He was distracted today and did 14. And he was just. He's not the most computer savvy guy, so he had to work through the computer today. But he feels good now, so he's gonna just do his thing tomorrow.
Cool. Yeah, you want to go to? You got to be making offers. X number per week, that's got to go to, you know, X number per day. That's the key stat. So he's calling to find motivation, you know, whatever your process is. If you're going to jump on the phone and you're going to talk the deal through and you're making the offer, he is, whatever the case, that is the daily stat. The result that we want are closed deals. And yes, we want to track it, but what we want to do is on a daily basis, we want to track, okay, what is it that produces that result? And that's finding motivated sellers and making offers. Got to make offers, right? We don't care whether people say yes or no. We tell them, this is how much we can pay. Does that work for you? Present the offer. And the more you make, right, if you get to where you're making offers consistently on a daily basis, at least multiple offers per week, the results will start to come. So that's where the focus is. That's really the key KPI, the key performance indicator. At the end of the day, you don't have to look very much farther than somebody says we're crushing it or somebody says I can't figure out where the problem is. Question we always like to ask, how many offers did you make? How many offers have you made in the last 5 days? And you don't have to look much further. So it could be, right, not all of you are there yet, and that's fine, but I'm saying when you get to this point and you have leads and you have phone numbers for the leads and somebody's on the phone, that is the goal. How many offers? And that, if you just wrap your brain around that, why do we generate leads? So we can make offers. Why do we hire competent skip tracers? So we can make more offers, so we can talk to more people. Why do we have multiple salespeople? So they can talk to more motivated sellers, so we can make more offers. It all comes back to that piece right there. a key stat. So, good stuff. Did you find anybody today that was motivated besides the lady with 100 that's not really, that wants market price?
Yeah, he found somebody, but they were at lunch, and he said he was going to call them back. So so he feels good about what he did today, and and he had some messages out there and some stuff. So he only got through 14, but and I gave him 40. I gave him 40 of the 250.
You've got a buyer. You've got you've already found some motivation, and this is what we find time and time again. Put a competent phone salesperson on the phone with these leads, and it's what's normal is to start to see some promising results on the first day. That's just what's normal. So, and they only called 14 leads, or did they just make, or did they just call 14 phone numbers? Larry, did I lose you?
No, he didn't. I don't know. He said 14. I would assume that was 14. No, I looked at his number, so he processed. He changed the status on 14 leads, so I assume it's
okay. Okay, so 14 leads. Yep, cool. All right, man, keep it up. You got things clicking now. You know, it's just going to be some tweaks here. Obviously, let's talk it through. But you know, you get this team to gel a little bit, and that's going to happen with some success. So, have them lean on you. You know, work the script. The scripts are simple. And I think it was Ryan. He might have had to jump off. He shot me an email earlier today, and he said, what does the training and onboarding process look like with a salesperson? And I replied, and I said, it's relatively simple. First of all, if they're high D, they're not going to ask a ton of questions. And that's probably been your experience. Obviously, some people ask more questions than others, but high D people really are wired to where's the script? You know, like my last conversation with Chris when I hired him. What does the script look like? I emailed it over, and I said, you're basically looking for motivation. He asked very few questions, and he was like, great, I'll jump on the phone this afternoon. You know, there are some other personality types, right, that some of us are, where we're going to ask, you know, 30 questions. We want to know, well, what happens in this scenario? What happens in this scenario? And again, really valuable in certain places of the business, but put a salesperson in. And so that onboarding process is, you know, it can be fairly quick. Here's your script. Here's what we're looking for. Here's how you work the software. You know, knock yourself out. Like Chris, for instance, he said, cool. That's all I need. Let me make 5 calls and I'm sure I'll have some more questions and I'll ask him then. But he was just like, you know, ready, fire, aim. Let's go. I'm ready to jump on the phone. And that's where you want that high D personality. They don't need an answer to every question before they start, right? That's just how they're wired. So the onboarding process, that was it. And Larry, I don't know how in-depth you went, but
these guys are older than me. Both of them are trying to work from home full-time. They're both experienced salespeople. I loaded a script into FreedomSoft. I walked them through it on Skype, gave them access, told them to look at it, ask me some questions, ask me very few questions, and they're ready to go.
That's it. That's the high D personality type. So don't get stuck if you're wondering, holy cow, salesperson, and I've got to train them, and what do I do, and do they need a manual? Nope, they don't. When you get that high D personality type, like I said, they don't need all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. They say, hand me the leads, hand me the script, let's rock and roll, we'll figure it out as we go. So it's a great question. I'm just telling you the training is easier than you think it's going to be. So good stuff. Good update, Larry. You got a lot of pieces in place here, so nice job. Look forward to, we're going to have a short couple of days here. We'll chat again on Thursday. And by the way, New Year's Day is Monday, so we'll do Tuesday, Thursday next week. I'll send out an email again, and then we'll get back to our regular Monday-Thursday schedule. But it's just the time of year. So, Larry, great update. Who else?
Larry Potts.
Hey, Larry.
We hired 5 bird dogs last week.
Yep.
We kind of worked through them. One of them was a little hard to train. My wife had some difficulty wanting to get rid of him, you know, saying,
yep.
And I kept pushing him on her. To make a long story short, between Thursday and Saturday, when we counted, he had already brought in 105 leads.
Cool.
And the polished people, I think they may have got 20 more between three or four of them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so
I hadn't looked today what he did, but one of the things we were doing, he had made some mistakes that we were having to look at the pictures. You take a picture of a house, and it might be two houses trying to, you know, just some small stuff.
Yep.
And I noticed something in the picture. So when I finished, because I promised him we'd have him paid by Sunday at noon. So
yep.
When I'm on the phone with him, working out the final details, giving a good audit, because he thought he had more, but I said, if you do, you need to turn them in. If not, long story. But what I saw in the picture, I asked him about, and I said, do you have a car you're riding around? How do you get your leads? Or is that bicycle what you did it on? He said,
yeah.
I don't have a car. I did it on a bicycle.
Holy cow. Committed.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's like, you know, kind of impressive.
Hey.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
he's out hustling it.
He's motivated with it.
Yep.
I felt very good about it. Good with
yeah.
him. And
that's
we'll
cool.
see how he does this week. That's a different story.
Yeah.
But that's,
yeah.
But.
Hey, if somebody's hungry and coachable, that's all you need. I mean, this job isn't rocket science. So, yeah, it can take a little training and figure it out. Make sure you're on the same team. You know, some people, they just don't really know what you're looking for until you tell them. So, you know, if it's crazy and they're just sending in pictures of anything, I don't pay for it. If I feel like it was an honest mistake, you know, I've had a couple houses that were listed come in. The last one I checked didn't have a for sale sign in the front yard. I can't hold my bird dog, you know, to the flame for that. So I paid him $3 for the lead, even though, you know, through whatever, I can't remember how we found out, but it was listed. But that, you know, that's not on him. It was a vacant house. He took a picture of it. So you're going to get some other stuff. So just, you know, make the right call, be fair about it. You know, when you figure it out, do some more training. But typically, a few conversations back and forth, and you'll have a reliable bird dog bringing good leads in for you. So I like the hustle.
Yeah, I do too.
Doesn't have a car and has brought in more than the three or four others combined who have cars.
Five
That's
times
cool.
as much as the others on a
wow.
bicycle. I can't
I like
wait
it.
To call bird dogs. I may call them tomorrow and ask them how they're doing and then tell them
I
about
like
that.
It. And I'm assuming their buses down there, like they do in Colorado, have the bike racks on them. So you could even send him across town. He could bike over, you know, take a bus over to a different zip, jump on the bike, go ride through that, and then take the bus home. So I love it. If there's a will, there's a way. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
When you're motivated.
That's it. I mean, you know, somebody, you guys all control, right? What's your marketing budget? How many leads can you pay for to bring in? That kind of thing. But it's, you know, it's not uncommon. I mean, we paid one of our guys. He had a big week where we really pushed him to bring in a ton of leads. But we paid him, we paid him up around $1,000 for a week here a few weeks back because he brought in quite a few leads. And he only, you know, he went out and worked maybe 3 days, something like that, and just got after it for 3-4 hours a day. We sent him, you know, to some good areas that had a lot of vacants, and, you know, he put some Christmas money in his pocket. So if somebody wants to go get it, I think I did some math. He's had a couple days for us where he made $60 to $70 an hour
yeah.
driving for vacants. I mean, that's a heck of a part-time gig.
Oh, yeah.
So, yep. Yeah, everybody wins. I mean, they say if anybody argues with you at $3 a lead, you know, that you've got to follow it up with, hey, it's really common. I pay $3 a lead, and it's really common for our field agents to make $30+ an hour. We've had people do $60 to $70 before. So,
well,
anyway, good stuff. Who do you have calling them? Larry, are you making calls, or I think you have a salesperson, right?
Have a salesperson.
Okay.
As soon as we, Janie's, I don't know what she did today. She was going to sign up one VA, and I don't
okay.
know. She's on call. She's driving back from out of town.
Okay.
And so I haven't looked at how many leads come in today or anything. I'll know, you know,
okay,
in probably 30 minutes or so.
Is your salesperson actively calling them, or they're on standby?
No,
ready to
we are not. We're still in the process of getting that 250 leads to turn over to the skip tracer.
Hey, here's the thing. Get a skip tracer, because if you have 30, tell them to skip trace those 30 and get somebody calling. You don't have to go to 250 to then skip trace to then start.
Okay.
Get a skip tracer on, start having them skip trace, and get that salesperson on the phone.
Okay.
Yep.
I think that was Janie's plan, to try out a couple people with those, you know, 30, 20
bucks or whatever. We're never gonna wait for all the pieces to come into place, because it'll rarely happen. So if you have 20 leads, put an ad on Upwork that, you know, find a skip trace and say, I have 20 that need skip trace today. Who can do it for me? And pay them for those 20 and get your salesperson going.
Yeah, she had been talking to two or three of VAs back and forth. And, you know,
perfect.
My salesperson, he's ready to go.
Get him some leads. Because the sooner you get him on the phone, you just heard, you know, Larry Allen just said, only 14 leads, and they already have some positive feedback. That's what you'll find. It'll be similar.
Yeah.
Get somebody on the phone with these leads as soon as that's possible.
That's the plan.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Anything else, Larry?
No, nothing else.
Okay, who else? Questions and updates.
This is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, good morning. Oh, it's evening. I keep forgetting.
Keep good morning if you want.
Yeah, I'm in the process of hiring my acquisition guy, and you know, the next really thing I need to do, and I'm by listening to the calls, is I'm really going to get busy over these next 2 days, just talking to buyers. I need to, that way I can know, because my market, when I look at the price range, is so, it fluctuates. You know, you see properties for $5,000, you see properties for $15,000, you see them for $30,000.
Yep.
All 3-1. So,
yep.
So when you plug the numbers in, it's like, I'm not sure. So I really need to talk to buyers. But what I was going to ask is about a dispositions person. Is that someone who calls all your buyers? And I have a list of about 100 and so buyers with phone numbers that I can start calling. Is that something that
they
I can
could.
Do on a
yep.
disposition?
You start calling them for now, and that's exactly what a dispositions person would do. So keep building your buyers list and sell deals to your existing one. Those two jobs.
Okay.
Yep. But, yeah, you want to go in, start calling buyers just like you were saying, and here's the thing. You got to ask them this question, and it's in the script. How do you run your numbers? How do you know a deal's a deal?
Okay.
Right? What's the math?
Right.
Are you using a simple formula? Are you buying, you know, off a cap rate, off a return of cash? What's your indicator that says, yes, I have a deal and I'll pull the trigger on this one? And then, like we were talking about end of last week, you have got to be asking your buyers. You need to ask them this all throughout the year, but you're calling them, right? You're going to talk to buyers before the year turns over. You know, hey, just out of curiosity, how many did you buy this year in 2017? And you have got to know your buyers that bought 2 and your buyers that bought 102, right? You're already starting to separate them into, here are the ones that are really active, because you don't buy 50-plus houses in a year without either having the cash or the cash is already lined up. They have access to it, right? Those are the people you want. Of course you'll sell to, you know, somebody has a first deal or that kind of thing, and they've got the financing figured out, right? That's going to come. But what you'll find is, and I heard a really interesting interview with Katie Couric and who was the singer? Barbara Streisand. And Katie Couric asked Barbara Streisand, what's it like working with the really talented people? And she had an interesting answer. She said the more talented they are, the easier they are to work with. And I never forget that, because I thought she was going to say, you know, the rock stars, the people who were the best, you know, actors, singers, songwriters, that kind of thing. I thought they would be the most prima donna, you know, look at me, arrogant, that kind of thing. She said it was the exact opposite. She said the ones trying to fake it are the ones that are a pain in the neck to work with. And I thought, man, that relates. That goes right over to real estate. The buyers who know what they're doing who are buying 100-plus deals a year, they're so easy to work with. It's the ones who are, you know, went to some weekend event and said, I'm a wholesaler now and this, that, and the other, and they're just, they're trying to figure some things out and get in the game. Those tend to be the ones that are a pain in the neck. So you're going to be looking for those serious buyers. So as you start talking to them, got to ask that question. And it's right in the script, but make sure you don't miss it, right? Those, especially those two. How do you run your numbers so that you know when you're looking at a deal? And, you know, how many did you buy here in the last 12 months?
Okay.
So that you know. Look, you know, look for those ones that are, and you'll find them that are 100-plus.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, north of 20, that's somebody that's buying, you know, almost multiple on a monthly basis. Obviously, 24 would be two a month. But you're going to start to find those high-volume buyers. They're the easiest ones to work with, typically.
Okay.
That's
I have
experience.
One on my list that purchased 50. And
yep.
I was a little nervous about calling that one, but that's them the ones I need to get to first.
That'll be your easiest conversation, most likely.
Okay.
Because it's just the people that get it, they don't have anything to prove. They're just doing it. Mm-hmm. Easy to work with. And here's the thing. You can go to a buyer like that, especially after mm-hmm. you have a relationship, but even early on, because they have all this experience. And you can say, hey, here's what's going on with this one. I mean, obviously, we're here to help, you know, walk through the details of the closing and that kind of thing. But when you're out just in the world, maybe 5, 10 years from now, and you get stuck on something, those are the buyers you're going to call up and say, hey, here's the scenario. How do I work around this? And most of the time, they'll just give you an answer. They'll say, oh, yeah, here's what we do.
Okay.
Go here, do this, do that. Right? Those are also the buyers where you want to say, hey, who's your investor-friendly title company in town that you know, trust, and love? And they'll refer you right over to the best title company in your area.
Okay.
Because they know. They're closing 50 deals a year, right? They've probably tried multiple. And then I ask them, first I say, who's your favorite title company in the area? They'll tell you. And then I say, and at that company, who's your favorite closer? And you'll either get a name or they'll say everybody in the office is good, typically one of the two. If they give me a name, I call that person specifically and say, hey, Dennis just referred me over. I'm a new wholesaler to the area, going to be closing transactions. He said you are the best in town. I'd love to, you know, establish a relationship, and when I have my first contract, I'll get it your way. And just introduce yourself. Yep.
Right.
Got to find those buyers. So, yeah, Dennis, absolutely. Get out ahead of it. In the meantime, make sure leads are coming in. Make sure they're skip trace. And then I think you just said you have a sales guy, right? A salesperson, guy or gal?
I got a sales I'm working on sales. I got one person lined up. I'll be talking to a little late on this evening, and I want to.
Okay, nice.
I'm just going to start with that one. I didn't get through the IQ test yet, but I'm working through that.
Okay, yeah, send them to that free disc test. And it's not IQ, but it's personality.
And oh, yeah, the personality test.
Yep, see if they're that high the D. Test.
Okay, and I already had 50 leads with numbers that I just came back from Skip Trace, so they're ready to go.
Beautiful. Yeah, get them on the phone. If they fit, get them on the phone as soon as possible, tomorrow if you can. Here's the thing. I had somebody ask me. They had somebody come in, a sale. I can't remember who it was, last week. They sent me over a personality profile, and the person was high I, and then there was some D and some S and C, and I can't remember the mix. I looked at a couple of them last week, and they asked me, what's your opinion? And here – the rule of thumb is high D's and high I's can both sell. Those are the extroverts on the DISC test. S's and C's are introverts, okay? D's and I's are extroverts. Those are typically the two sales ones. But I went back and I said, you know what? A high I can probably sell. Like, and I can't remember who I emailed back, but I said, I'll be honest, my favorite one to pick is a high D over a high I. So my recommendation was to keep looking, because the high D has that dominant, driving, competitive personality, even more so than the high I's. And I want, right, if you're thinking future and you see a sales team and not just a salesperson, I want that high D, super competitive personality, so that when I bring in a salesperson that's wired the same and maybe a third salesperson and they're all high D, now we've got some good, healthy internal competition in the business that's going. All right?
All right.
I like that. I like that high D personality type. That's my favorite. Eyes can sell. High D is my favorite. So just take that for what it's worth. So, yeah, give them the test for sure.
Okay.
Have to. Because if you'll just waste leads if you put a non-salesperson on the phone with them. Won't be effective.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, good stuff, Dennis. Anything else?
No, that's all I got.
Okay. Who else?
Mike, this is Mike Durace.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, so, yeah, I'm still pushing on the bird dogs to keep some stuff coming in to kind of intermittently.
Yep.
I get four or five leads popping in and then kind of have conversations with them and they kind of go fly again. So I just keep trying to plug more into them. I've got a couple guys that left town for the holiday and I got back with them and they finally responded and said that they'll be back in this. One of them will be back in this week, the other one next week early, and they're ready to start going. But I'm not holding anything back. I keep getting people in. I'm going to just keep plugging them into one zip.
That's it.
And
see
how they do, and if they do okay, I'll just keep adding zips.
You got it. See who sticks. It's all you can do.
Yep.
And you guys, it's perfectly okay to in your Craigslist ad to put, I mean, it depends on what time of day you put it out there, but I need somebody to start today. I'll even pay you whatever. I'll pay you a monetary bonus if you can go today and generate leads. Tell them the training will take us 15 to 20 minutes, and you'll be off and running. So do you have – do you have 2 to 4 hours today that you can carve out and get paid today? Call me.
Yeah.
Put your number in there. And I told you last week somebody asked me, I don't mess around with text messages. I go right to phone call with bird dogs.
Yeah.
I want to hear how serious they are, and I want them to hear how serious I am. And they can't hear it through my text. They can hear it in my voice. When I tell them, can you drive today? I will pay you today. And I'm serious, then they believe me. And they don't ask me any more questions, and they don't question if I'm legit or not because they can hear it in my voice. That's my preference. Not to say it's the only way, but, yeah, it's absolutely okay to do that, to put an ad online in the morning and say, I mean, your topic could be, who's looking to make $300 today? $300 extra spending cash for those after Christmas sales, whatever you want to do, right? Try around with different ads. But, if you've got guys, Mike, I like what you're doing. You have guys that say, hey, I'm going to be back next week. But your mindset is next week's great, but I need leads today. So go find somebody who can bring in leads today. So, yep, stay on it.
Okay.
Did you get a new hot rod for Christmas?
Oh, I did not, no.
I was just kidding. I know you could build yourself one, so.
Yeah, no, we're all good. I got a couple of them in the garage, so we're good.
Do you? Are you working on any project cars?
No, just my 57 Chevy.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah, building a big motor for it.
I'm a wannabe car guy, so that's why I had to ask. I'm not trying to sidetrack us here.
That's all good. Hey,
cool.
So I also started skip tracing some of the leads that came in.
Yep.
I want to kind of familiarize myself with the process. And,
yep.
So I did do that. I have some phone numbers and stuff. I haven't started calling people yet.
Okay.
We got to the phase in the program where I'm actually got the scripts and stuff, so I'm just starting the process. I don't want to jump too far ahead before I go back, but I did go through and do that, so I think I have some fairly good information. I haven't started doing any of the sellers at all. I should probably start doing that as well, just make some phone calls with the sellers and get some more in-depth information what they are looking for. So
to buyers, you mean?
I mean buyers, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yep. Those are great conversations. I'll tell you what, put all your focus on leads, skip trace the leads, and I think you said you're going to be on the phone, but I'm okay with you being on the phone for a time being.
Yeah.
But my preference is that all of you bring in a high D salesperson. Why? Because that's leveraged, right? If you want a job, do it all yourself. If you want a business, find somebody to do it for you. Now, when you're getting started, is it valuable to make some sales calls? Absolutely, because it makes you more effective in training. I'll be honest with you, though. It's not required. You get our script with a phone salesperson, and you don't have to have made any sales calls. They'll figure it out. I'm just telling you, that's one option. So Mike and I were having the conversation. He took the DISC test last week. He's highest in I, and then he's got a good level of D, S, and C. And so I told him, I was like, listen, you can, you're an extrovert by nature. I was like, you can probably sell. And, you know, he ran a hot rod shop for many years. So I know he had to sell something because, you know, the shop was busy and that kind of thing. I was like, you can probably do it. So what I'm saying is, and this is for everybody, I'm not opposed to you doing it for a period of time, right, to get things moving. If you want to get familiar with it, that's okay. But ultimately, we're all here to build business. And business, right, you want somebody on the phone specifically talking to sellers, finding new properties to buy. And that's just time consuming making dials. So I'm okay with any of you doing it for a short period of time, but I want you to bring somebody on board because that's the business side of this. Understand it, right? He just said he skip traced a few leads. I'm all for it. Now he knows how to train it and he knows what it means and he can have an intelligent conversation about it. It's not required that you go learn how to skip trace, right? But now you have an idea of what that looks like, kind of what it all entails, that kind of thing. That's great. You know, as the owner of the business, you want to know what's going on. But now find a VA to do it because it's not highest and best use of your time. And when you're on the beach or working on the hot rod, you want to know that leads are being skip traced on your behalf. So I'm okay with temporary, you know, go wear that hat for a while. But then let's get somebody in place so that we're building business. So, and Mike, you know that. I'm just saying it for the benefit of the group. But some of you are wired for sales and like to do sales. So I'm just saying I'm okay with you wearing those hats to get started from time to time as personnel changes, that kind of thing. But if you really want a business, got to have other people in play. So you can, right, leverage that time. That's so. It. What else, Mike? Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, that's just
get those leads in.
Kind of
What's your lead count right now? How many are in vacant?
Oh, I've got just 13.
Okay, so we got to step on it. That's where I want your focus. In the meantime, obviously, you can run an ad. You can be talking to skip tracers to get that position hired. And then you can also, if you're going to hire an ad and hire somebody in sales, start having those conversations. You don't have enough leads to support a salesperson, but when you start having a serious conversation with somebody, that'll force your hand to bring the leads in. So again, I'm always for that good pressure, right? Let's move a little faster than we're comfortable with, and you'll make it happen. The pieces will fall into place. So,
okay, sounds good.
Yep, plenty to be doing, and it's kind of a tough week too to get some of this done. But I'll tell you, it's also a good week, and I think some of you who have ads online, we all reflect at the end of the year, and some people who are good at sales are thinking, my job sucks, I hate it, I've got to do something new, I'm not going to go another 12 months at what I'm doing, and we bring a cool opportunity to the table. So it's also the people who are looking are probably tired of, they're just saying, I'm not going another year, I'm not going to look back, 12 months from now and say I'm still stuck at this place that I can't stand. So there's some people out there that are hungry.
Perfect. Yeah, I kind of had to back off a little bit. I was expecting a lot more out of these bird dogs and then started realizing end of year, everything's going on. So I kind of have a high expectation of people. So I had to, in my personality profile, pointed that out. So I had to reevaluate some of my approach. So we're all good. We're going to keep pushing them out there. And
get those leads in. Get a VA in place that's right on standby, ready to skip trace. You're probably going to line up a couple. VAs are going to come and go. Don't put all your eggs in one of those baskets. So meet a couple that are competent. Get them ready. And then if you want to post for a salesperson, fire it up.
Okay, we'll do it.
It'll take you 3 to 7 days to get them on. You're going to go through New Year's. They're probably ready to go first week or two of January, something like that. So, okay. Yeah, that'll force the issue. So, good stuff.
Great. Thanks.
Yep. Who else?
Light night, huh?
Yeah, a lot of people are out of town, so I kind of figured it's that week. So, you know, it just whoever shows up, we'll see who's here and get questions answered and move forward.
I have one quick question, Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis.
On my Craigslist ad, when I send them out and
ad for who are we looking for? Or just all Craigslist ads?
Oh, I'm sorry. For bird dogs.
Okay.
For bird dogs. Like, I send them a description of what I want and wait for a reply back. And I'm not sure if I haven't been getting anything back. I'm not sure if I'm
How wordy is your job ad? Are you paying for it, too? Let me ask that. Are you putting it in the sales or real estate section?
I'm paying for it. I'm getting a lot of people asking about it. They ask for more information. So I send them a text. I reply through Craigslist letting them know what I want. And sometimes I get replies back. Sometimes I don't. I'm not sure if it's if my reply is getting to them, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah, so get it. If you're wondering if the technology is even working, get it to a phone call as soon as possible. Get your number in there and say, call or text me if you're interested. I know you have a few questions. Great. Let's have a quick conversation. Shoot me a call or text.
I'm going to put my email up there.
Go right off Craigslist. Well, you can put your phone number in there too. So it'll say you don't have to post it in the ad. You can if you want, but you don't have to. But if they click the little red reply button in the upper left-hand corner of the ad and you gave them your phone number, your cell number will populate right there, and they can just call you. So, yeah, if it's a technology question, get them right to your phone and get it off the technology, because who knows? And you're at an out-of-country IP, so I don't even know how that works with Craigslist. But if you're getting replies, obviously your ad's posted, go right to the phone.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Here's the other thing, too, is some people have never heard of this, and they're like, I'm going to drive around and do what? I mean, is that even a real thing? And so you want them to hear the confidence in your voice that, this is legit and I pay. So get it to a phone call. The other thing, I'll just add this in too, is I like to keep ads for bird dogs all right. They're going to have some questions. Don't write 4 paragraphs on what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. Just put in the ad, sort of make it a teaser, and write it what's in it for them. Get paid with a car and a cell phone, same day pay, flexible hours, right? There's never been an easier job than this. I'm looking for real estate leads. Let's have a quick conversation. I'll explain to you what we do. Something like that. Short and sweet. Generate the phone call and then let them hear in your voice that, yes, this is legit and, yes, you pay.
Okay.
So don't go in depth.
All right.
Short and sweet. Just generate the phone call. That's all you're looking for. And I do the same thing looking for salespeople. Short and sweet. Now, if you're going to hire for some different positions, like if you get, you're really busy, get your business ticking and you want an executive assistant, they're probably not high D. They're that really thorough personality type. They're going to be high S or C. And you probably want a little more in-depth job ad because they're going to have all kinds of questions. What do I do on a daily basis? So, what does this job look like? So, again, that's where you can go on to Google. You don't have to be an expert on the different personalities in the DISC test, but if you know a little bit about each and you say, okay, I want somebody that's really, really organized, what personality type am I looking for? How does that person work? And then you write your job ad try and do your best to write your job ad out of that personality. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
When I write an ad, and some of you asked me for it, I said like a couple weeks ago, if you want my last salesperson ad, shoot me an email and I'll send it to you. And that, I'll still do that. Shoot me an email to the coaching center and I'll just copy and paste it back. You can change it up a little bit. But I wrote it like I was a high D looking for a high D. It's really short, really to the point. Why? Because high Ds, they don't have a ton of questions. They want to know, what's the result? How quick can I get there? How much money can I make? That's all they care about. How do I get to the result as quickly as possible? So I wrote the ad. I'm not high D. When I take the personality test, I'm high S, high C. I'm not high D, but I put my high D hat on to write that ad so that I attract. Because a high D person who reads that, they think, this is right up my alley. He's just speaking to results. That's what I want. That's what I'm interested in. So we've got to, if we know a little about that, right, that's some communication ninja type stuff. Who's my intended audience? How are they wired? Let me try and write this to cater to them. And you'll automatically weed out some people that wouldn't be a good fit anyway.
Okay.
What else?
All right. That was it for me.
All right, Dennis. Anybody else? Before I go make snow angels in the 11-degree weather?
I'm with you, brother.
Golly, it's been cold today. It was 9 all morning until just after lunch. It went to 11 and it stayed there. I'm just bitter about it. That's all. I'm complaining.
Yeah, it was 60 degrees last week. So
right. Oh man, not ready for it. Anybody else?
I'm not going to say.
What's that?
I'm not going to say nothing about my weather.
Yeah, please don't. 75 today and sunny or what?
Yes.
Brutal.
We're heading to the beach a little later on.
Oh, man. I'm jealous. I love living in Colorado, but, my wife and I, we definitely like the summers more than the winters. Anyway. I don't mind 30 to 40, but 11, that's pretty cold. That's pretty chilly. All right. I'll ask one more time. Any other questions? All right, everybody. Kind of a short week. Again, this is a great week to be productive. I'm not going to hold you to it. If you're doing the family stuff and you're out, that's fine. But if you're around, let's make some progress. I know I'm, had a great time with the family yesterday. I also wanted to say I hope everybody had a great Christmas and that kind of thing. But let's go to work. It's just a great time of year to get some things in place for next year, and I know all of you are working on that. So, again, we'll chat here in a couple days. Call back in, with some good updates. We can get a lot done in 48 hours. So keep your feet on the gas. Let's make it happen. Obviously, any questions tomorrow before then, get them into the coaching email so we can talk those items through. And we'll chat soon, everybody.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, yep. Have a good afternoon, evening, or morning, and day, wherever you're at. And take care, everybody.